Book to Acts chapter 25. As a Pima County Sheriff Department Regional SWAT Team Chaplain, I get to hang around with some of the special groups guys. Now, one of them is the K-9 unit. And those K-9 unit and the deputies, and they are Belgian Malinois. And these dogs are extremely well trained and highly disciplined. The handler can put their favorite treat on the top of their snout and tell the dog, don't move. And you would against that, all the smell coming right in front of their nose. Do you know what that dog will do? Sit still and not move. He doesn't even flinch. You can go on and, handler will talk with another person just to see her. And dog doesn't move until he says, okay, now you can eat. Soon as they hear that you can eat, they flip that in the air and catch it with one gulp. Let's face it, the word discipline is like that word we don't want to associate with. Because often it requires something that we don't want to do. English word definition is retraining exercise. That word is not something we don't want to face. Or the regiment that developed and improved a skill or punishment inflicted by the way of a correction and training. Neither one of them make us feel comfortable because we want easy life. Don't you agree that? Greek word, the discipline is a hupopiazo. Its definition is far more graphic. You find it in one verse in the New Testament, but its definition is like a boxer who buffets his body black and blue, handle it roughly. That's the verse that we find, our memory verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go there, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I, there is that word, discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others or living the life of Christ, I myself should become disqualified. We cringe at this definition. Then you mean I have to control my body and put myself through this difficult time and training and exercise and maybe spiritually as well? Yes. But the Lord Jesus teaches us through the word that discipline is far more than simple punishment, simple training. Rather, it's the divine discipline rooted in the deep care for our ongoing spiritual growth and maturity. Now turn to left, go to the book of John, chapter 15, please. Chapter 15, verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1. In this day and age, the idea of discipline is very much no go. Because people don't want anything disciplined. They want to do whatever they want to do. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bear fruit, he what? Prunes. What does it mean? I'm not a person who can grow things. I can look at the artificial plant and I can kill it. Some people have a green thumb. I have a black thumb. I can grow the weed very well. See, some people know when to prune, to grow more. Is it because that person don't like that plant? No, because they care for it, they prune it to make it better. That's what the God does for us. And every branch that bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. This morning we are going to see the Lord painstakingly pruning He's a very obedient and fruitful apostle, Paul, who has done everything for the Lord. Not because he has done anything wrong, not because the Lord is totally sadistic, but because the Lord wants him to go through these four disciplines to make him to bear more fruit in his life. I believe that he's going to use this same disciplines, or he's using this discipline in your life and my life already, and to bring more fruit in our lives for his glory. Let me give you one advice. When you are in discipline, when you are in that training, don't fight against God. We'll stop there and pray. Father, it's easy to reject your discipline. It's easy to reject your training because, as we know, we want easy life. We want our ways, not your ways often. But we reject our ways. We desire for your ways, Father. Because your way is much better than ours. As heaven is higher than the earth, your way is higher than ours. And your word says, when we search you, you will be found by us. So we seek to search and we seek your will and we seek your ways. Father, teach us through the life of Apostle Paul. We are asking you to guide us that we may receive the things that you prepared for us. We also pray for President Obama. Don't let him rest until he comes to the point where he give up his own ways and choose your ways. And we pray for our troops. In light of Memorial Day, especially praying for the families of those soldiers who lost their lives, comfort them, give them hope, give them peace. We also pray for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters who protect our lives. We are asking you to keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The disciplines, we are going to take a look at the four disciplines. There are discipline of delay, discipline of a false accusation, discipline of unfair exploitation, and discipline of uncertainty. None of them sounds good, right? We'll start at the last verse of chapter 24. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do a Jew's a favor, left Paul abound, which is illegal, but he did. Verse 1 of chapter 25. Now when the Festus had come to the province, after 3 days he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Since we finished the study of the last book, the last chapter 24, it's been 7 days, right? But in the Bible, it's been over 2 years. And Paul was in the prison, Roman prison, prolonged 2 years. And while he was chained to one of a prison guard, he couldn't go anywhere, he couldn't do anything. So he started prison ministry. And then top of all, he had a captive audience. Where are they going to go? He was chained to the Paul. Until his shift was over, he had to converse with Paul. I'm sure at the beginning they tried to ignore him. In a way, Paul is a salesman for God, right? I am. I'm a salesman for God. It's kind of fun to see it, how the Lord used me to speak to the people. And you can start with just about any subject. I can move you the way I want it, the way God lead, and we can talk about God no matter what. I'm sure that's the case with Paul. They can start with anything. The guard end up listening to the full gospel of Jesus Christ for 2 years. I wouldn't mind being stuck with the Apostle Paul by chain for 2 years. I will learn a lot. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Until he was arrested in Jerusalem, he was unstoppable. He went from city to city, from country to country. He was the man. He was the evangelist for God. Now he was stuck in the jail, twiddling his thumb and waiting. And more waiting. And knowing that when he doesn't know that when he's going to be released. One thing for sure, he knows that he is going to go to Rome to witness. He just doesn't know when and how. As the day become months and months become years, Paul's thought was probably spun wildly. And probably he was asking God, Lord, how can I preach to the world if I cannot get out of this jail? Look at it, Lord. There's no internet. There's no iPod. There's no podcasting. I cannot do anything. I'm stuck here. Then his thought will go to the sideways. And he will ask, am I in sin, God? Am I doing something wrong for you? Maybe you set me aside from ministry. Doubt will start to sink in. Actually, God was planning to use Paul in even the greater ways, but the first, he had to teach him a lesson of patience, endurance, and humility that he could learn only through the discipline of delay. We like, yes, the answer of our prayer, don't we? We will put out with no. But when there's a no answer or wait, that we cannot handle. You might be in the situation, discipline of a delay, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting. So you come and knock on the door. God, hello? Is anybody there? And guess what? God ignored you. He ignored you because he loved you. And he loves me. I've been doing that thing lately. He said, I'm not talking to you. I already told you, wait. Second discipline. Discipline of a false accusation. Verse 2. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul. And they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem. This is the Jewish religious leaders, okay? That's what they have in mind. While they lay in ambush along the road to kill Paul, him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea, that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of Jews, nor against the temple, nor against the Caesars, have I offended in anything at all. 2 years have passed since Paul escaped Jerusalem under the protection of soldiers. And his defense before the former governor, Felix. Yet these Jews are still grinding axes. Obviously, 2 years did not subside their angers. But the reason why it didn't subside is because Satan, the murderer, is behind the scene and working hard. They did not want the justice or truth. These religious rulers, they did not want the justice or fact. They just want Paul dead. You know, religion can be a very, very wrong thing. And you may say, isn't Christianity religion? No, it's not. It's the way of life. Religion killed more people in the name of religion. It killed more people than any other thing. Many people in the Bible were the target of false accusation, such as Joseph. He was falsely accused by his ten brothers. And Daniel, he was accused by his co-workers. Yet in another sense, every follower of Jesus Christ is a target of false accusation by the accuser of the brethren. Thankfully, Jesus is our stronghold. Jesus is our defense against the condemnation and false accusation. Go to Romans, please, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Before you go to verse 33, I want you to read the first verse as well. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you have not memorized, do that. Memorize it. And go down to verse 33, please. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That's born-again Christian. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us. You want somebody to pray for you? Guess what? Jesus is praying for you. You cannot ask for a better person to pray for you. If you are not prepared in your heart for false accusation from the enemies of God, you will go into the major tailspin, which can easily cause you to doubt the faithfulness of God. You follow that? If you haven't prepared your heart, you will start to doubt the faithfulness of God. Guess what? You cannot learn this from any books that you find in a chapel bookstore or Christian bookstores. You can only learn this from the Word of God and through the discipline of God. First-hand discipline. You cannot learn from somebody else's experience. And you're thinking, oh, bummer. You are exactly correct. That's why God put us through that training. Discipline is training. Go down to verse 9, please. Now we're finding discipline of unfair exploitation. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, he's no different than Felix, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there to be judged before me concerning these things? So Paul said, I stand at the Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, and when he had conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. Listen, when you were a kid and you were told to do something that you don't like to do, the first sentence roll out of your mouth is not what? Fair. Have you ever used that word before? Of course you have. And your parents, without even missing a bit, they say, life is not, wow, you heard that before. And now, you as a parent or grandparent are using the exact same phrase, life ain't fair, kid, when they say, it's not fair. When you're a Christian, life ain't fair. It's worse. Though Festus was a much better governor than Felix, Keith understood that it was beneficial and important for him to be in good relationship with the Jewish religious leaders. After all, he was a politician. Paul was in the Jewish leaders' court previously, and he knew that he's not going to get a fair trial. So he pulled out his trump card. I appeal to Caesar's. Some of you guys know this. If you are arrested now, in current time, the current criminal law is pretty much based on the Roman law. If you are arrested, and you are given a Miranda right, and you choose to say, I want my lawyer now, supposedly, you are not supposed, the detectives and the police officer cannot question you. It pretty much should get you yourself out of their questions unless your attorney is in the present. Same thing. In this case, Apostle Paul literally took his case out of the hand of the governor, hand of the Jewish religious leaders. I would love to be in that court chamber when Paul announced, I appeal to Caesar. Governor Festus would have been totally stunned, and the Jewish religious leaders probably covered their mouths in astonishment. With the one sentence, Paul escaped their hands. As a result of a mutual benefit between the new governor and Jewish religious leaders, Paul felt a sharp edge of a dagger near him again. The discipline of unfair exploitation, but under God's approval and under God's supervision. Whatever happening to you and me, everything is under the supervision, under the approval of God. The difficulty you are going through, you think that God is not there. Yes, God is there. We just think that God is not there. Remember His promise, I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Don't ever forget that. God's hand is not too short that He cannot rescue if it's necessary. But God is leaving you there as a discipline, as training. Stay with me. Verse 13, please. And after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priest and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for judgment against him. To them I answered, it is not a custom of the Romans to deliberate any man to destruction before the accused meet the accusers face to face, and has an opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him. Therefore, when they had come together without any delay, the next day I sat at the judgment seat, and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought up no accusation against him, such a thing as I suppose. Verse 19, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive, and because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear this the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. At the time of Jesus and Apostle Paul, there are three complicated leadership in the land of Israel. First one is a Roman governor. He had a complete and overall power with the Roman military force behind him. He had the final say. Second leadership is the kings of the Jews. Though the Herod's family were Edomite, they were appointed by the Roman emperors to oversee the civil affair in the land. Third leadership is the Sanhedrin. This is a Jewish religious group, also known as a council, dealt with the religious and ritualistic temple matter in Israel. All right, since we read the name Bernice and Agrippa, King Agrippa, let's meet them. The King Agrippa, Herod Agrippa II, that's a full name. He ruled the satellite kingdom in northeast side of the Philistine region. The territory was relatively small, but he had a lot of influence. He was appointed by the Roman emperor, and he was known as an expert of Jewish custom and religious matter. Because he knew a lot about it, the religious matters, he was in charge of a temple affair in Jerusalem. And also he had a right to appoint a high priest. That means he literally controlled all Israel and when it comes to religious system. Some of you might be confused with because there are several Herods throughout the Bible. Let me explain in a very simple way. The Herod the Great is the great grandfather of this Agrippa II. He was the guy, you may remember him in Matthew chapter 2, when he found out that Magi escaped his hand and Jesus was also escaped, to make sure he ordered to kill all the male babies under 2 years old in Bethlehem. Then Herod's grandfather, he's the one who have John the Baptist beheaded. His father, Herod Agrippa, he's the one who killed James. Really nice family, very loving family. What about this Bernice? She is the brother of King Agrippa II. Get this? She married to her uncle. And after his death, she came back to her family and she moved in the house. Secular history says they had an incestuous relationship. You know, their relationship, this whole soap opera would make even the Hollywood producer blush. Get this, guys. This is not a formal hearing. This is the formal court is just hearing. How could Paul expect the justice from the morally corrupted people like these people? Can you imagine the uncertainty of Paul's future? To the Jewish religious leader, Paul was a thorn in the flesh. To the new governor Festus, he was an embarrassment. To King Agrippa and Bernice, he's a court jester, as we will see. There is nothing more than entertainment. You know, even though Apostle Paul appealed to Caesar, any one of them could have him killed. And he said, well, Paul died. Case closed. However, Paul was under the protection of God. He was under the protection of God's plan. And he will go to Rome, all expense paid. Listen, how easily it was at times like this to doubt his value and worth, and even the promise of God. Yet throughout this discipline of uncertainty, Paul held fast his faith in Jesus Christ. We can do the exact same thing. Three applications for you guys. Number one, don't press God to end your discipline. Don't press God to end your training. It's a waste of time because he cannot be pushed around. If you continue to end the discipline or training we are going through, it is the evidence that you are not done yet. You just prolong your discipline. You don't want to do that. Second application, don't turn to unbelievers for their advice while you are going through the discipline and the training. You will get ungodly one from them. And turn to God's word, the Bible. And you may say, well, that sounds harsh. Well, let me show it to you. Psalm 1. Listen to this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinner, nor sit in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Am I making sense? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. From the Word of God, you will receive refreshment and comfort you need, because that is how God speaks to you, through the Word of God. Third application. Don't think that the end result has anything to do with yourself. It's all about Jesus. And you come out of that discipline, you come out of that training, and you are stand strong. Please don't think that you have anything to do with it. At the end of a discipline training, let's not think that we pull ourselves out of the difficulty by our bootstrap. It is not us, it's the Lord's mercy and love that pull us out. Amen?